Okay, so are you implementing Genius Hour yet in your classroom? And if the answer is no, what are you waiting for? In this episode, I'm going to share three things to consider before implementing passion-based learning in your classroom. So after you listen to this, you'll have everything that you need to get started. So settle in, get comfortable, let's go. Hey friends, what is up? Welcome to A Meaningful Mess Podcast. I'm your host, Andy McNair, and I believe that it's perfectly fine for learning to be messy as long as it's meaningful. Yep, I said what I said. Each week on my podcast, I share manageable and meaningful ideas for you to utilize to engage and empower gifted learners. But let's be honest, good teaching is just good teaching. My hope is that the ideas and strategies shared on each episode will help you find meaning in your mess. Let's do this. Welcome back to A Meaningful Mess Podcast. Well, here we are again. It's already August. I have no idea where the summer went. I'm sure you probably feel the same way. But you know, there's something refreshing about a new school year and just a new opportunity for, I think, educators to get a fresh start, students to get a fresh start. I know at my house, we're kind of running around now trying to get everything in order. We will actually have two in college this year and one still at home. And so it'll be different to only have one kid, getting them up and getting them ready for school, but so excited that she'll actually soon be driving herself to school. So I'm not sure I'm going to know what to do with myself, but I have a sneaky suspicion I'll figure some things out. So excited about the new school year. I'm sure there are also lots of other feelings as well, like maybe uncertainty or uneasiness. And gosh, regardless of what you're feeling, I just want to take an opportunity on this podcast to say that none of that is wrong, right? Regardless of how you're feeling about the new school year, it's okay. I'm sure you hear this a lot. You've probably seen it on social media, but it's true that it really is okay for you to be both nervous and unsure and also excited. I think we can be all of those things at once for sure. But in thinking about a new school year, it brings new opportunity, and it brings new opportunity to take risks and to do things in our classrooms that will give us a big return on our investment as educators. And if you've listened to this podcast for any amount of time at all, you know that I'm a big believer in passion-based learning. And I only speak about that so much because I know from experience that it gave me what I just shared. It gave me that return on my investment, and it actually ignited my passion for teaching again. And I feel like ignited really the love for learning that my learners needed and deserved to experience in the classroom. And so, you know, when I think about a new year, I really just want to share with as many educators as possible that, you know, that willingness to try something like passion-based learning. And so we're going to specifically talk about Genius Hour today and what it needs to look like before you implement it in the classroom. And so I just posted on Instagram. If you don't follow me on Instagram, you should. That's where I share a lot of things. You can find me at @A_meaningful_mess. But I shared a carousel post, and it was really just this idea of three things to consider before implementing Genius Hour. So I'm not naive enough to believe that a lot of people are going to be implementing Genius Hour in the first couple of weeks of school. But as you get rolling, as things start to get into place, I think Genius Hour might be something to consider. And giving your learners that opportunity to have a little bit of their day, a little bit of their week, any amount of time to really pursue their own interests and the things that they want to learn more about. And more importantly, to kind of think about their purpose and what they hope to accomplish beyond the walls of the classroom. And so as I was thinking about that, and I've been talking to so many people this summer about what that can look like, how you can practically implement it, I was thinking through what are some things that teachers need to think about on the front end before actually implementing it in their classroom. And I came up with three questions, and that's what today's podcast is going to be all about. What are those three things that we need to consider before implementing Genius Hour in the classroom? I oftentimes say, I wish I was more of a planner. I'm not as much of a planner as I probably should be. But what I will say to you is that I've learned with the experience that I have now working with districts and campuses that are making this a reality, that the more you can kind of think through and not plan perfectly, but instead develop a roadmap for what this is going to look like, I think the more beneficial and more successful this type of learning can be in your classroom. So here we go. We're going to go through three questions, and let me just share them. Spoiler alert, I'm going to share them all three right up front, and then we're going to talk through each one. So the first question would be, how will you implement Genius Hour? The second question is, when will you implement Genius Hour? And the last question, the question that I happen to think is most important, would be, why will you implement Genius Hour? So as we talk through this, I'm just going to share specifically what I mean by that question and some things that I just think you need to think about that I wish, some things I wish I would have thought about on the front end of implementing my own Genius Hour in my classroom. And these are just the things I try to share with educators now. So here we go. Number one, how will you implement? So if we take that a step further, I think the questions become, is there a process that you will use? Are there resources and ideas that you need to access? And is there anything that you can front load to make the process more manageable? So let's just kind of talk through each one of these. The first one, is there a process that you will use? Look, I know that there doesn't have to be a process for everything, but what I will tell you is that when I went to implement this type of learning in my classroom, it was so messy, like so messy that I thought I might get fired. Like it just was so much going on at once. And even though it was messy, I was okay with that as long as it was meaningful. And all I can tell you is that in the beginning, it was so messy that I don't even know that the argument could be made that it was meaningful for in my classroom. And so I had to begin to think differently about what that was going to look like. And I knew that I needed to kind of develop a roadmap for my learners. I knew they needed to know what are the different steps or what are the different pieces of this process that I need to go through to know that I have worked on a Genius Hour project, or how do I even know when I'm done? And sometimes I always like to tell educators, a lot of times my students would get like stuck in the research part of Genius Hour. Like it was like they were researching for an eternity. And I was like, well, what are you going to do next? And so often they just didn't know what to do next. So they would just kind of stay in that space just because they weren't sure what the next step was. And so all of that to say, in my classroom, I developed a process called the 6 P's of Genius Hour. And this is what I talk about all the time. You've heard me talk about it on this podcast, but really for me, this process was so helpful because it gave me clarity. It made things more manageable and it gave my learners clarity. It didn't feel so messy. There was still so much freedom. I was actually just working with some teachers this week on this process. And they said, you know, what we love most about this is that we still feel like there's autonomy and there's freedom and there's flexibility, but it doesn't feel like we're just kind of flailing. Like, what do we do next? There's an actual step. And so if you haven't seen the 6 P's of Genius Hour, first of all, where have you been? I'm just kidding. It's okay if you haven't heard of it yet. But I do talk about it all the time on this podcast. So if you're listening for the first time, here you go. I'm going to give them to you. The first one would be, you know, every kid has to start with figuring out what is their passion. And through that, really, what is the purpose of their project? So passion and purpose kind of go hand in hand. And then the next thing is they have to plan their project out. So that's a really intentional piece of thinking through, you know, the things like, what materials am I going to need? How long is this going to take? Who will my outside expert be? Having an intentional part of the process that gives them an opportunity to think through that before they start actually working on the project. So we've got passion and purpose, plan, and then pitch. That's when they'll pitch their idea to the class, almost like Shark Tank, if you've ever seen that show, an opportunity for them to get everyone else on board on what they're going to be doing and also gather ideas or suggestions from other people who can kind of buy into or get on board with what it is that they're doing. So after they pitch, that's when they actually start to work on their project. So I always like to say that passion and purpose, plan and pitch, those are kind of pre-project parts of the process. I don't know how it works out that so much of this conversation starts with the letter P, but it always does. So those are pre-project. Now, after they've done those three things, they're going to actually work on the project. And this gets a little bit confusing, and I get this question a lot, like, what is the difference between the next two steps? So project and product. Project is when they're actually doing the work. So they're working on their project. This is a lot of verb words, right? They're designing, they're making, they're creating. And then that project, that work, should result in a product. Ultimately, I always like to say it's process of a product, but ultimately we hope that a product comes out of that. And then finally, after they've worked on their project, developed the product, the last piece is to really give a presentation, right? How do I put all of this learning together? How do I demonstrate what I've learned to others? And that's the presentation. So I talked a lot in between those. And so let me share them in a more specific way. Every learner starts with their passion and purpose. They plan their project out, pitch their idea to the class. They work on a project to develop a product and ultimately give a presentation. So, hey, I happen to think that's a really good process, but there are lots of processes out there for any type of PBL, right? If you just look through, you know, the design process, the gold standard PBL from PBL Works, I think all of those things are valuable. So there's lots of resources out there, lots of things to consider. But the 6 P's of Genius Hour, definitely a process that I would recommend. And if you want to learn more about that specific process, you can head over to my website, andymcnair.com, and click on Genius Hour, or you could just go straight to it, andymcnair.com/genius-hour. And so I'll put the link to that in the show notes so you guys can check it out. Lots of resources. We actually just released the new book, Genius Hour, Passion Projects That Ignite Innovation and Student Inquiry. And that can actually be purchased on Amazon or through Routledge, my publisher. But we just did a second edition of that book. And the second edition is just full of like new ideas, new things that I wish I would have thought about the first time I wrote the book. But luckily, I was blessed to be given the opportunity to write it again and add in all of the new ideas. So definitely something to check out. Okay, so process, 6 P's of Genius Hour, definitely something to check out and consider. Are there resources and ideas that you need to access? Again, gosh, there are so many people, amazing educators that talk about Genius Hour, and there is no shortage of resources online. So I think just getting on, Googling Genius Hour, looking up the different things that you can find, and then just considering like what's going to work best for me and my learners, because every classroom is different, right? You don't teach robots. You're not a robot. It's not going to look the same in every classroom, and it shouldn't, and that's okay. Finally, that whole idea of, is there anything that you can front load to make this process more manageable? I don't think it's a bad idea for you to consider, could I kind of record the directions or the explicit instruction for each piece of whatever process you decide to use, and kind of consider how could I or how might I front load those things so that I don't have to repeat the directions all of the time. I'm a big fan of Microsoft Flip, and I love that they give you the ability using their camera to record short videos that you can then share out with your learners. So if I was implementing something like this, really any type of PBL in my classroom, if there were parts of that process that I was going to have to repeat over and over again, I would 100% record videos of those things so that when the kids need that information, they just go scan that QR code or they just go click on that link so that you don't have to repeat it over and over again. So that's something you could front load and not have to repeat again. So how will you implement? Lots of conversation there. You need to consider the process. You need to consider the resources that you need to access. And also just think through some really practical ways that you can do this in a way that will give your learners an opportunity for it to feel meaningful to them, but also you want it to feel manageable for you as well. Okay, so I think the next question, moving right along, the next question is, when will you implement? So we talked about how you will implement. Now we're going to consider, when will I implement Genius Hour? What will that look like in my classroom? You know, I get this question a lot of, you know, how often should I do Genius Hour in my classroom, or how often should I give my learners an opportunity to work on their passion-based project? And I always say, you know, it's that's your call. That's up to you. Whatever you can give them, something is better than nothing. So depending on what you teach, gosh, whether it's elementary school, middle school, high school, and then within those, the different content areas that you teach, that's going to really determine how much time you have. I think best practice, I really like the idea of kids having an opportunity once a week to work on their project. But I was working with a teacher recently who just couldn't give up the amount of time that they wanted to for Genius Hour. And so we just came up with, you know what, why don't you introduce this at the beginning of the school year, kind of go over the process, help them know what this is going to look like. And then the projects can just run in the background. And what that means is every time a kid finishes their work early, has already mastered what's being taught, or you guys just have some downtime, right? Because we know that happens, not often, but it happens. And so when that's the case, you have the Genius Hour projects to fall back on. Those are the things that they're going to be working on. And so this idea of them running in the background, I think solves several problems, right? It gives us an opportunity to make sure there is always meaningful work waiting for them when we have that downtime or when they finish their work early. And it gives us an opportunity to implement Genius Hour, even if we don't have a dedicated time to do so. So thinking about how often will they work on it, and will they work on them every day, once a week? That's just your call. I know teachers who only have once every 6 weeks to work on it. And while, man, I wish they had more time, I think, like I said earlier, something is better than nothing. And I don't think you should feel guilty if that's all you can make happen. Because if you can do something like that and start to see the value in it, and your administration start to see the value in it, then who knows what'll come of that? That might shift, and you might be able to make something like this happen on your campus in a very different way in the future. So anywhere you start with this is a great place to start. And then just thinking about specifically during the day, what time of day will this happen? You just have to really look at your schedule and consider, when can you as an educator be focused enough to really pour into your learners during this time? You know, for sure, Genius Hour is student driven. For sure, it's an opportunity for them to work on their own projects. And the goal is for them to be able to do that and learn self-management and self-awareness through that process. But the reality is, as educators, it's a great opportunity for us, through questioning, to weave in the standards, to give feedback on how they are implementing life-ready skills like collaboration, communication, those types of things. It's an opportunity for us to consider, how are they implementing social-emotional learning skills, and to give feedback on that. So you want to pick a time of day that is going to allow you to be available, but also allow your learners to be able to have the freedom and not feel completely rushed, and to actually be able to focus on the work that they're doing. So I think sometimes Genius Hour can be a little tricky at the end of the day, because again, you don't want to always just squeeze it in and it be rushed. You want it to be something that, again, like I always say, it's got to feel meaningful for them, and it's got to feel manageable for you. And if it's rushed, that's not going to be the case. So ask yourself, when will I implement this? And consider the things that I just shared. You may not be able to find the perfect time right now, but I think the more that you begin to make it a reality and start to see how it works and how it feels, you'll be able to kind of plug it into a place that makes sense for you and your learners. Okay, last question, most important question. Why are you implementing Genius Hour? Look, the reason this is an important question is because you are probably going to get some questions if this is something you decide to do in your classroom. And a lot of times the questions that are being asked are not, they're not asking them because they don't support what you're doing. A lot of times people ask because they are genuinely curious, because it is so different than what a traditional classroom looks like. And so I think it's really important to consider, why is Genius Hour, or why is passion-based learning, something that you have decided to implement in your classroom? And it can't be because it's the biggest buzzword in education right now. It has to be because I believe it's something that's best for me and my learners. And one way that I think you can do that, and I've talked about this a lot, is to really think about your core beliefs. What are the things that you believe every learner deserves when they walk in your classroom? You know, I know my core beliefs like the back of my hand. I share them in every presentation that I give. I share them on social media often. And so, just to list a few of them, I believe that every learner deserves an opportunity to share their work beyond the walls of the classroom. I believe that every learner deserves an opportunity to experience and learn from productive struggle. I believe that every learner deserves an opportunity to experience new learning every single day. Another one is, I believe every learner deserves an opportunity to pursue their passion and purpose during the school day. And look, I've shared almost all of them, so I'm not going to leave this one out. I believe that every learner deserves an opportunity to learn by doing. So those are my core beliefs. I can spit them out instantly because they are something that are, they're really important to me. But you probably heard how most of the core beliefs that I have align very nicely with why Genius Hour would make sense in the classroom. And so if I was questioned on why I was doing that in my classroom, or if somebody wanted to know more about why I was making that a priority, I would be able to lean on those core beliefs. If somebody said, hey, Andy, why do you do Genius Hour? Why is that something you focus on? Why do you talk about it all the time? Well, let me tell you, because I believe, and I would go into my core beliefs. And I think when your core beliefs align with this type of learning, it just makes sense to do something like this. So I would encourage you, really this time of year is a great time to do this, to sit down and write your core beliefs on a sticky note or on an index card. Just write them in a place. The very first podcast episode I ever did was a podcast about core beliefs. You can go listen to that. It was episode 1, I think. And I just talked about why this is so important. And so I would say to you, like, write your core beliefs down somewhere. And in that podcast, I think I talked about like doing 3 things with them. You want to identify them, writing them down. You want to activate them. So if I believe that every learner deserves an opportunity to learn by doing, how am I going to make that a reality in my classroom? And could Genius Hour play a role in that? And then the last thing is share the heck out of them, right? Put them on Twitter, put them on social media, share them with your administrators, parents, share them with the students that you teach. Like, talk about them all the time so that they just become a part of who you are as an educator. So you may have 3 core beliefs, you may have 10 core beliefs, I don't know. But I do think that this is a great time of year to really sit down, think through them, write them on a sticky note, and put them in a place that you'll see them every single day. So just kind of some things to consider, but I think that could really be your why. And then I think you consider, what impact do you hope that this type of learning will have on your classroom and on your learners themselves? Like, what is your goal in implementing this? What do you hope the outcome to be? Because I think oftentimes we implement something just because the teacher down the hall is, or because we talked about it in a faculty meeting. But we need to really think through, like, personally, as educators, what do we hope this accomplishes in our classroom? Because I think when we can kind of start to see those things actually happen, that's when we recognize that, hey, this thing that I'm doing, this thing that I've made a choice to implement in my classroom, is actually giving me a return on my investment. And I think that's where we find our joy as educators. I think we lose our joy when we are doing things that are not giving us a return on our investment. And so considering that question, why will you implement, and tying it back to your core beliefs, and then just considering, what is the impact that I hope this will have on my learners? So there you go. 3 questions. How will you implement? When will you implement? And why will you implement? Those are 3 really important things to consider before you ever make Genius Hour a reality in your classroom. Hey, I want to tell you that if you have any questions about Genius Hour, if you're thinking about implementing it and you're just not sure, or you're just like, you know what, I don't know if I can step out this far, please reach out to me. Whether you send me a DM on Instagram, shoot me an email, whatever you want to do, you can go over to my website at andymcnair.com and click Contact Andy. Whatever works for you. Look, I would love to have the opportunity to share with you the impact that this type of learning had in my classroom, on my learners, and on me as an educator. So, new school year, fresh start, great opportunity to take some new risks and do some things in our classrooms that will, 1, give us a big return on our investment. 2, make school a place that every learner wants to be. And I 100% believe that passion-based learning can play a big role in that. So, man, I hope you guys kill it this school year. I hope that you subscribe to the podcast so that I can support you and be here with you all year. But I just want to say how much I appreciate you taking time to listen. I hope you have a restful afternoon, evening, whatever, whenever you're listening to this. But thank you again just for being a part of the Meaningful Mess community, and I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to learn with me today. I absolutely love this community and enjoy sharing and learning with you. Check out today's episode notes by swiping up in most podcast apps. If you'd like to learn and connect more, you can follow me over on Twitter at McNairAN3, and you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at A Meaningful Mess. You can always find tons of resources, inspiration, and information over on my website, andymcnair.com. Be sure to check out my blog, Genius Hour resources, and so much more. Enjoy the rest of your day, and as always, I hope that today's episode has inspired you to find meaning in your mess.